jump into it.
Yeah, go ahead.
So let's start with, you've always kind of had the fun of jumping back and forth from film to your short stories and then to your books. Do you write the same way for each, or is the process of writing, you know, the scripts compared to the short stories or the books different?
Writing prose is a much more, there's a much greater attention to language. So that element of, you know, physical description, emotional description, in a book or a short story, is different than what you do in a screenplay. So I guess, the main difference is I find it a lot harder to write the prose and the screenwriting. It takes a lot more time. Whereas, writing for the screen, you're dealing with plot, and you're dealing with dialogue for the most part, which goes a lot faster.
And yet, like, I was amazed at how much of Natasha came across in the short story that I got to see on screen as well. How much fun was it to meld those worlds, because I felt like there were specific moments that were directly taken from the short story?
There were. It was 10 years, roughly, from the time that I wrote the story to the time that I sat down to adapt it. So I had a lot of time away from the story. I changed as a writer. I looked at that story with a more objective and critical eye, too. So there were things that, upon rereading it, that I thought still worked nicely, and then I took, as you saw, I grafted into the screenplay. But then there are other things that, I approached differently, things I liked less about what I saw before, what I saw in the story. And I saw opportunities also to expand out, and really to use that one particular story as a way to tell a larger story about, Russian Jewish immigration to Toronto. I mean, was able to bring more threads of the entire family into the film than I really could into that first story.
It seems like the impact of the movement of Soviet Jews has impacted a lot of your work, and obviously you personally. What is it about telling their story that is important to you? Why these particular people?
I don't think I'm that different from most writers who mine their personal experience for their art. So I grew up in this community. I was born in the former Soviet Union in Latvia. And, as somebody who was a reader in the first instance and saw previous generations of writers write about their communities, Philip Roth, Mordecai Richler, Leonard Michaels, Bernard Malamud. I saw around me, the next wave of Jewish immigration to North America, and didn't see those people represented in books and really not represented in film either. So what motivated me to write about them as I have for the past 10 years? Their absence from any kind of cultural representation did the same thing for putting them on screen. I don't think anybody has really done a authentic film about this community. They've done it in Israel for Russian immigrants, but not North America. So I saw this as an opportunity to do that.
How much fun is it then to kind of play with these characters with knowing that you are kind of introducing them to the audience? Because I was really amazed at how much of the family we get to know in the short story. Even though it's a short story, you give us so much of the entire family's history. How much fun. And that bleeds into the film, especially when we get the whole family involved and they're talking about Fema's relationship with the new wife. Can you talk about being able to showcase it in family? I feel like that stems through all your work, is the importance of family.
mean, in the film, you know, in choosing what story to adapt from the collection, I mean, if we look at it from that perspective, this story is the one that offered the most opportunity to get the entire family into it in an active way. And I think for Russian immigrant families, Russian Jewish immigrant families, family is a big part of it. So to make a film that doesn't incorporate the family just wouldn't have been representative of what that experience is like. And the fun of it was really managing to collect an ensemble cast, people who are actually Russian and Russian Jewish immigrants, and put them in front of the camera and allow them to inhabit those characters. And that's, I mean, you feel it. I hope it comes across that you just feel that these people are real, and that they dig down into the experience and project it out from the screen itself. And that was the fun of it, to see the authentic representation. I mean, particularly with Russians over the last, I don't know, whatever, several decades. Anybody who really is Russian speaking, and you see the portrayal in film and TV, it's usually cartoonish. But to see it done correctly, to find actors who are skilled and real, to me that was remains really, when I watch the film, the most satisfying part of it, just looking at people's faces and knowing that they're right.
Well, in particular, can you talk about your two leads? Obviously, finding Alex to play Mark and Sasha, I mean, she's already winning awards for this performance. I mean, can you talk about their performances in particular?
Yeah, I mean, the film is really about the two of them at its heart. Alex is in pretty much every shot, certainly every scene. So we need to find two young actors who are Russian-speaking, who could make this film work. So Alex did have experience, and he is trauma-based, and I knew of his work, in some smaller pictures, and he was just starting out. And so without him, this film doesn't work at all, because you need somebody really to carry the picture as he does. And Sasha, it's her first role, we had a really hard time finding somebody to play that role, because it's such a challenging role and demands, you know, that somebody speak Russian, that somebody be able to pass for 14 or close to it, and yet be of age and have the emotional maturity to handle the subject matter, including the sexual subject matter. So when we found her and put her together with Alex, they clicked, and you could see that, you know, the film would have life.
You know, David, you said earlier you've changed as a writer. Can I ask how much you've changed as a filmmaker since Victoria Day to Natasha?
I think the experience of making films, which I do, as you noted, with a regularity, it's hard for anybody to get films made. If you do it irregularly, you feel like, everyone could be your last one. And so in coming to this, to Natasha, it was really wanting to push the limits as much as possible, whether it's, how we approach the subject, just not to be complacent in any way, to try to push it as far as we could, and to get it as real as possible. That was really the main issue. So anywhere we could, we went for realism. So we shot on location everywhere, including at the airport in Toronto, which nobody had really done before the way that we did it. But it was just making sure that it felt real, it felt true, not that sounds kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? I think everybody would care to say that, but it really felt like we may not have another chance, and I might not have another chance to tell the story again. And so it was to commit to doing it without any kind of compromises, or not do it at all.
Which day was then the toughest? Was it the dealing with the airport, or was there a moment that was even more strenuous on the set?
I think, you know, the thing with the set, there are all sorts of problems that come up when you shoot the way that we did, which is on location exclusively. But I think, you know, once we got to the point where we'd locked down our locations, I think that was when we'd overcome the main obstacles. I think getting, honestly, I don't know if this is true for all filmmakers, but in my experience, and particularly on this film, finding the cast and getting the budget together to shoot was the hardest part. The things that happened practically on set paled by comparison with how difficult it was to put this project together.
As far as the location scouting, is there a gem in there you just love the fact that you were able to get, you know, into the film that captured both maybe the story or maybe even a nod to your history in the city?
There are a few things, but the airport, to me, I think is one of the more satisfying things that we got. You know, I think back really to European films. There's a film called, maybe you can, sometimes I forget titles and you can remind me. The same director that did The Past, the Iranian director. It was The Past. The one who did A Separation and just did the last film that won the Academy Award. I don't know if you saw The Past,
but yeah.
There was a moment there where, in fact, the film starts with it, where the woman meets her, you know, ex-husband, I guess he was, at the airport in Paris. And it's just, you just feel like they shot at the airport. And I never see that done in North American cinema. I think it's just so hard to do. And I've never seen anybody do that at Pearson in Toronto, where you're just in the arrivals terminal and people are coming out. And for us, because we're such a small budget film, we couldn't have faked it, and the scene was necessary that we managed to strike this deal with the airport. That Xena comes out, you know, as a stream of real travelers are moving around her, and we're in the, you know, in the terminal, surrounded by people who are actually waiting for their friends and loved ones to show up. And there's a moment where Natasha, you know, was coming down the ramp, and a Sikh man with a, you know, a crimson turban crosses past her. And to me, it's like that is emblematic of how we wanted to make this film. You know, to make it feel as if it's, you know, almost a documentary. And when we shot elsewhere, you know, in the old neighborhood where I grew up, yeah, you're just, you know, there's no shutting down streets. There's no, you know, really having extras. We were just in the midst of that part of Toronto, the northern part of Toronto, where this community still basically resides. And we were just getting it.
It's got to be a little nerve-wracking knowing that this film is about to be unleashed into the public, first New York and then hopefully expanding very quickly. Can you talk about getting the film out there and maybe as far as your babies go when it compares to a release of a book, how these things are similar but also very different?
You know, my feeling is it's so hard to make a film. It's so hard to get a film into theaters, meaning to have a distributor put it out there, that I'm just excited that it has its chance. So I don't think much beyond, I think most mostly in terms of what a triumph it was already to make it, and everything beyond that is just gravy. I mean, you want the film to be seen, and there's an opportunity for that to happen. But as far as anxiety, I don't really feel it. All that is out of my hands, and I just feel fortunate to have the opportunity for the film to be exposed to an audience. Sadly, I think may be true of a lot of filmmakers where, you're grateful to really for the bare minimum at this point in terms of, getting a film out there. It's so difficult. There's so much competition. So as far as where it goes beyond this, honestly, I'm happy for anything.
One of the things I love on the website for the film and you guys showcase the different covers that your books had in different countries, like the look of them. Is there one of your favorite? Because I noticed three or four that completely were incredible, like the Netherlands or Israel. I mean, these were interesting. Do you ever get to look or get nostalgic about looking at the covers of your books or short stories over the years?
Natasha covers, because it was my first book, and because as a writer, you really don't have a say in what the covers are internationally. It really seemed like an opportunity to see into different cultures and how they perceive your work, how they perceive whatever it means to be Russian and Jewish, and some of them, were mind-blowing. I think the one that I love the most, because I totally still don't understand it, is the Netherlands cover. I think it's a woman sucking her own toe.
At first, I thought it was a hand, but it's totally a toe, for sure.
It's a toe. It's a woman sucking her own toe, and it's there's like sort of a purple and speckled wash on it. It's wild. I actually love it because, on the other end of the spectrum, you just see people doing the same sort of thing, which are, fairly stereotypical images that are trying to communicate something really simple, like this is Russian and Jewish, but the Dutch weren't completely out there.
Well, David, I guess the last question I've got to ask, what can we expect from you? Are you writing or maybe adapting maybe one of your other books, the Betrayers maybe, or anything like that? Is there anything you can tell us what's going on with you right now?
I do have an adaptation of the Betrayers that I've been playing with, so that might happen. And I'm going back to write another novel at this point. I'm going back to fiction, I guess, in the same sort of pattern where I go from making a film to going back to books. I think once you do one, it makes you kind of miss the other form or long for the other form, and then you do it, and then you realize that you want to go back to the other thing because they have different satisfactions and their own frustrations. So that's where I'm at right now.
Very cool. Well, David, I look forward to seeing the release of the film in New York and hopefully beyond. And thank you so much for the time. It was a real pleasure getting to watch the film, but have also loved your writing. So thank you.
Thanks a lot. I really appreciate you taking the time, Tim.
Awesome. Have a good day. Bye, David.
Bye.